Good evening, folks. This is Charles E. Treadway III. Tonight's show is going to start a two-part series on parent versus parent in the court system, plus domestic violence. What are the signs to look for in a relationship? Are you a victim? Do you know someone who is? Tonight's show will be covering women. This will be some pretty frank conversations, and because of the subject matter, we suggest that children or young children should not be able to listen. If you want to join the conversation or just listen, the number is 347-855-8358. If you want to join the conversation, just press the number 1. Also, you could listen to us by going to hashtag Charles E. Treadway or hashtag The Right Way with Charles E. Treadway III. Please join me and my co-host, Robert Douglas Drake III, this evening, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. You know you are appreciated when you do things the right way. I'm Drake's Media Network.
How you doing, everybody? This is Robert Douglas Drake III, and as you all know, I'm here to do radio the way that I do radio. I hope you're ready for The Right Way tonight with Mr. Charles E. Treadway III. He's the host, and I'm the co-host. Charles, let's hear from you, sir.
Mesa, Arizona, Compton, California, East L.A., Los Angeles, Chicago, Illinois, Tupelo, Mississippi, Charlotte, North Carolina, south of the border, South Carolina, Jacksonville and Tampa, Florida, Ybor City, Florida, Houston and Waco, Texas, Atlanta, GA, Boston, Massachusetts, Hartford, Connecticut, and New Haven County, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Norwalk, Connecticut, my hometown of Stamford, Connecticut. Good evening, everybody. You are listening to The Right Way with Charles E. Treadway III and my co-host, Robert Douglas Drake III. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the show before Good Friday, and I want to start out with a good word, and I'm bringing it from Luke chapter 23, and it's chapter 1. Just listen to this. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ the King." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all of Judea, from Galilee to even this place." Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to stir up some topics that have really been heavy on my heart since we have started this show. Unfortunately, folks, I said I would never lie to you, and I meant that. Tonight we had a little bit of technical difficulties. We are taping this show since, if you notice, we are starting at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. It does happen, and certainly do apologize here at Drake Media. But still, we are going to lay the groundwork. For the next 2 weeks, we are going to be talking about parent versus parent in the court system of this lovely country we call the United States of America. We know that sometimes court systems, when it comes to people whose relationships have not worked out the best, and they go to a judge to help solve them, especially when it comes to the rights of their children or child. They go to a judge, hopefully who will have the wisdom of Solomon and listen to both sides and have an outcome that will be just, not only for the father or the mother, but for the child or children. And that is the most important thing to children, that they have both mother and father equally in their life. And during this two-part series, we are also going to touch upon a very touchy subject, all right? And that is the subject of domestic violence. And a lot of these cases, there is some form of domestic violence, whether it be physical, or psychological. Okay, do hurt, but sometimes, like William Shakespeare said, the tongue is mightier than the sword. So we're just going to lay the groundwork tonight. As always, I have my co-host, also my boss. I also call him Simon Bar Sinister Jr., okay, the most diabolical man who is changing the format as we originally known as talk radio. We are carrying it to your homes from coast to coast and around the world, dear Lord. This is the man, Robert D. Drakes III. Robert, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, sir. I am doing great. And this is going to be very, very interesting, especially from both of our points of views as a man, as men, and hopefully we will have at least one female counterpart that can join us and give input to this situation. If not, we'll do what we do. You know, these are the things that people need to stop being silent about. To sum it up, in my point of view, Charlie, to get into the topic, is a house divided against itself cannot stand. And they can take that however they want to take it. But we'll move into this conversation as we talk about these current events. Once again, as you did, I'd like to say hello to all the people down in Tallahassee, Florida, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Detroit, and Chicago, Illinois. We see you listening. We hear you listening. And we want you to join the conversation. 347-855-8358. Chime in. Okay, Charlie.
Thank you.
Current event. What's your current event?
Well, thank you very much, Robert. This week, I'm going to give the folks' ears a break. I'm not going to talk about that man with the toupee and that other guy who's from your state. Okay? We are going to talk about, folks, if you kind of notice my voice is a little scratchy, if those of you who listen to our Sunday roundtable show with Tyrone K. Dunmore and Robert and myself, I have phoned in. I've been a very busy young man this week. I had the pleasure, the Iron Sharpens Iron National Men's One Day Conference, or as they say, equipping conference. Now, for the 5 years that I have been a member of my church, Gospel Light Community Church in lovely downtown Bridgeport, I have not had the chance to go on one of these men-only Christian-based conferences. And I guarantee you, after what I saw from the time that we arrived at about 7:45 in the morning, when we got our seats, when it started on time at 8:30 a.m., when it ended at 5:00 p.m. that afternoon, I was riveted. We had people of all colors, all religions, all nationalities, all cultures in that church, which name is the First Cathedral out of Hartford or East Hartford, Connecticut. Actually, we had three churches that were part, and this was, if I could use this expression, God's country. This was definitely God's country in Connecticut. I had never been to this part of Connecticut in all my years of living here, and it was phenomenal. Like I said, First Cathedral was the main base for everybody. Across the street was Bethel AME Church. And down the street, which was also a participant, was the Rehoboth Church of God. And I hope that I am pronouncing that correctly. There was 18 different seminars. And I'm not going to say all of them, but I just want to just touch on a couple, give you an idea of what was out there for us to listen to. At the First Cathedral, they started off with a Create the Crave. It was a modeling Christ for our children. And they also had another seminar called Manhood Restored, How the Gospel Makes Men Whole. And it was a very powerful speaker by the name of Dr. Eric Mason, who spoke or who preached that. Also, there was another topic, living among lions, becoming a man of the world, sexual intimacy, and God's amazing design, engaging men with the word of God, how to really love a woman, finding Noah, money and faith, and the challenges for men. And the one that I started my first seminar off with was over across the street at Bethel AME. And it was given by a young man who was a former running back for the New England Patriots. I am not a Patriots fan. I am a Dallas fan. So from being up here in Connecticut, I am in a minority. Tony Collins was a running back up here back in the late 70s, early 80s. And he still holds records today for the Patriots. And he spoke about how the words that you use, okay, well, the title was this, Why Your Why Has to Be Greater Than Your Goal. And it was geared mostly towards young people. But some of us old heads were in there too. Tony's my age, matter of fact. I'm 51. And he spoke about how the words that you deliver from when you're a youth can speak your future. And he said, now, Tony came from a family of 16. He was the 15th child. And he said he had brothers that were far better in sports than he was. But the fact is, he talked about the choices that they made that were not good for them. But Tony, and I'm not going to say all of what he said, but I'm just going to hit the highlights. Like I said before, he spoke about how the words that you speak can also dictate your future or the path that you're going to travel. And he said from the age of 9, he said that he was going to be an NFL player. Didn't know how, but he was going to be an NFL player. Played in the Pony League and PAL and everything like that. He was a very good athlete as he went up through grade school and the middle school and then eventually high school. He was an extremely good athlete. He was the first one, like you said, in school in the morning or the gymnasium, and he was the last one off the field at night. And he attributed that to the later success in life, even though he did have trials and tribulations in his life, bad marriages, ultimately drugs, which led to eventually his departure from the NFL after 8 years. And he felt that he could have had more years in the NFL if he did not make bad choices, which he did. And one of the stories that he told is very, very, is eye-opening. He said that after the first year that he was caught, they gave him a chance. He thought he was smarter than the drug test. And he thought, you know, he'd never get flagged. But he got flagged again. And eventually it ended up to where he was basically a three-time loser. Coming back, if he got caught again, that was it. And at the particular time, he went to a party. He was not participating in drugs, this and that, but he made the choice one night to go to a party. And there was a lot of marijuana that was being smoked at this party. He said everything. And he didn't do anything. But he had met earlier in the year with those of you who remember Pete Rozelle, who was the first commissioner of the NFL. And like we all see in those old movies with a big long table and the commissioner is sitting at one end and little Tony is sitting at the other end. And the commissioner says that we want to see you do the best and we're going to help you do the best. And we're not just going to give you a drug test to help you along. We are going to test you every single day. That's right. Every day that you come to work, you're going to get drug tested. So that's going to be a big incentive to make you stay on the straight and narrow. And Tony knew he could not do anything because if he did anything, that was his livelihood or his job. But like I said, Tony said he made a decision to go to a party that night. There was a lot of marijuana being smoked around that party. He didn't drink. just went there to have a good time, but you also said it was the choice that he made. As he went in the next day to take his drug test, at the end of the day, he was called into the office by his coach. And the coach said, Tony, unfortunately, you cannot play for the New England Patriots. He said, Coach, that's impossible. He said, I didn't, you know, I haven't done anything. He goes, I didn't do anything. He said, other people were doing things. He said, I didn't do anything. Called secondhand smoke. All right? We didn't think much about it back in the day. But secondhand smoke has done a lot of damage to a lot of people. Okay? I'm a living example of some secondhand smoke. Even though I had quit smoking approximately a year before my transplant, I mean, the damage was done. I was still around people that smoked very heavily. And my lodge was still a smoking lodge at the time. Even if you don't smoke, there are a lot of people that still develop emphysema or have to carry an oxygen tank. It is no joke. Even today, even though I haven't smoked a cigarette in over 5 years, still, if I'm around smoke, it makes me definitely. For those of you who think just because you don't smoke a cigarette, you don't smoke pot or whatever, right? Even those hookahs and those e-cigarettes and whatever fake thing that they try to do to imitate cigarette smoking, don't do it. Don't be around it. Somebody whips one out, just don't. Please go outside and think of others. You don't want to make the same for the same choice that Mr. Tony Collins did. There was one other thing that he did when he left. He was so despondent because he lost his job playing in the NFL. He ended up down in Miami, and during those days, Miami Dolphins was not a good team. He was very despondent. Wasn't playing for any NFL team. Went to a dealer's house and picked up 2 ounces of cocaine. In the back seat of the car. Said he was driving down the street after he left the dealer's house, got pulled over by not only one, but 4 police cars. But he said the goodness of God to try to get him to change his way. All right. An officer, who was a state policeman, whispered in his ear, you know, we don't have the right to search your car if you don't want us to. That's really the voice of God talking to somebody. So when they asked Mr. Collins if they could search his car, if they were aware of the kind of neighborhood he was in and what he might have in the car, me and sister, he said, no, you may not. This, and politely told him he could be on his way. And from that time, he's not done any substances, and he's gone around the country trying to tell young people the choices that you make, the words that you speak, the actions that you do, how you treat your parents or whoever might take care of you or be responsible for the raising of yourself and your brothers and sisters maybe. Will also be a testimony to how you conduct yourself when you get older. Choices that you make can set you on the path of goodness, or can set you on the right path, or the right way. So, our second Right Way Award I want to give to Mr. Tony Collins, whose foundation is also out of Texas, Robert, and his foundation is called The Right Choice. Now I'm going to turn this back over to my co-host, Robert D. Drakes III, if there's anything that he wants to say about this remarkable young man.
Yeah, you know, I'm not real big on the church, going to church, you know, but, I mean, it sounds like you all had a really, really good time, real good testimony, and real good, you know, a lot of good things to motivate people to do what's correct. Do it the right way, so to speak. With that said, I'm ready to get into this topic of this parent versus parent. because this is something that needs to be discussed and talked about out loud, not just from one side, but from both sides. So I'm ready to get into it, Charlie. Let's do it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we are really going to get into the crux of things next week, because you're really going to hear testimony from people that have gone through the court system, lost income because of the court system, and hiring of attorneys, or child support, or medical support, or having their wages garnished. And that's me, I went through that. But parent versus parent. I told you when I started the first show, and when I was developing this, so to speak, on the drawing board, I always told you I'd be very honest with you, ladies and gentlemen around the country and abroad. The reason that the subject is very important to me and it lays on my heart is because the basic fact is I have been a part of this court system right here in the state of Connecticut. I think it is unfair to fathers, even though we are supposed to be known as a very progressive state in Connecticut. We also fall short when it comes to fathers' rights. I'm in the process of starting a foundation myself that will provide lawyers for men that cannot afford lawyers because they've exhausted their income. They just barely have enough to live. And there's an old adage that still rings true today. A man who represents himself for a client. Men, and the reason I'm saying men, it's not because I'm excluding women. It's because the majority of people that go into the court system and have to deal with it regarding the visitation or wage garnishment or medical bills or paying disproportionately for their children or child is men. And because we cannot sometimes afford to pay an attorney, we have to basically be our own attorneys. And it's not fair. There's usually two attorneys in that courtroom, one representing the mother, and that's if they can't afford one, they're provided with one, and one representing the child. The child has a right to have somebody represent them. But the father, basically, they're told the father is on their own. And I don't want to see other men travel down the same road that I have traveled. I not only lost my house and lost other money, to be able to lose visitation rights, vacation time, just being able to go see your child perform any school play or any extracurricular activity, it is very difficult. If you do not know how the system operates. And they know what they're doing to men. Don't believe the hype, as Public Enemy said. They know exactly what they're doing to men. But the fact is, as long as they can do it and they can do it legally, they'll keep doing it. And the majority of the people that run this system are women. They don't want to tell you that. But if you have to sit down with social services, if you have to sit down with DCF, if you have to sit down with a child advocate, if you have to sit down with the Treasury part of the system, a majority of them are run by women, especially in the social services, even though a lot of men are incarcerated. Very rarely you hear in the news or see in the papers about a mother flipping out. I'm not saying that it does not happen, all right? Yes, it does. But women are given more of a chance than men are. and that is the system which a majority of the country has to deal with. And it's quite interesting that the place where most of the segregation or most of the laws that would normally be against men are more progressive, and that is the South. Men are deemed as an equal partner in the raising of a child. And the Southern leaderships are leading the way in making sure that men can become equal partners in the raising of their children. Now, like I said, it's not that late for me, but in the age of my daughter, it's getting late. But for others, I want to make sure that this does not happen. You'll be hearing more about this in the next couple of months. But I believe that we have a lady that who has joined us. Is that correct, Robert?
Yes, yes. Let's see. Ma'am, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
How
okay?
you doing? Yes, ma'am,
I'm
we
great.
Can.
And what can we do for you today?
Well, you know, I'm listening to you. I'm talking about the child support, and, you know, a lot of ladies won't like my view on this, but, you know, to take it all the way back to the start, first of all, as a woman, you should never lay down with a man unprotected. And when I say unprotected, if you don't want to have a child by this man, we as women know there are protections, birth control and other things that we can do to keep from conceiving a child. Okay? So, First things first. Now, if it so happens that you and the man think you're in love and you continue to have sex without birth control, and a baby does come about, now you, as a woman, have to think, how am I going to take care of my child? And I say my at that point because it's inside of her and it's her body. And if she doesn't tell him, he might not even know that she's with child. Okay? I'm not saying I want to put all the blame on the woman because, you know, on the other side, men, if you don't want to have a child by this woman, if you don't want to be responsible financially, mentally, physically, spiritually, or any other way for a child by any particular woman, the first thing is to not have sex with her. Or if you do, make sure that you follow the precautions and do birth control or whatever. Okay, now there's a whole nother ball of wax that comes up with this. Sometimes people are practicing all of their birth control methods and it doesn't work. So then we have a baby to contend with. Now, me as a female, I would say, you know what? This is my responsibility. I take full responsibility. You are the father. If you would like to be involved in the child's life, I have no problem with that. Let's become equal partners and let's raise our child. We don't have to be in a relationship to do this. We just have to be cordial and adult enough to get along and do the right thing. The other thing is, I don't necessarily need your money to take care of my child because I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to make sure that my baby has what my baby needs, whether you do anything or not. So, but if you want to contribute, then by all means contribute. And then when we talk about this whole equal thing, you know, let the father have a room in the house for the child, just like the mother would have a room in the house. The father should have toys and clothes and whatever else the child needs because the child should be equal, spending equal time at both parents' house. Probably like the best scenario, you know, best case scenario. I understand in most cases it's not the best case scenario. Sometimes one of the parents is relocated out of town. So naturally it's harder to keep a room and clothing and different other things because the child is not spending equal time. However, when the child does come, the child still needs all the comforts of home, which include love from the parent as well as other things. So that's kind of just where I want to start. Let y'all talk about it a little bit more.
Okay. Folks, that is the CEO of our company here at Drake's Media. That is Pamela Thompson. So that's why we were kind of chuckling. But and thank you very much for your input, Pamela. We certainly are going to come back to you. But I don't want you to think that I am just going off on the mothers. I believe me, that is not my intention. I agree with you 100%. Fathers, if you're man enough to lay down with a woman, whether you are just there to have a good time or not, if that produces a child, well, from day one, that child is your responsibility. All right? You don't need to go on the Maury Povich show. You don't need to go on Jerry Springer. What's right is right. Okay? And a lot of guys out there who are mainly youngsters who are listening to or trying to emulate their superstars in music, on the sports arenas or on the screens. Listen, you're not 25 years old making $20 million a picture, all right? You're lucky if you're 15 years old making $8 an hour if you have a job, all right? Or, and if you're doing other things, it does not make you a man to go out there and make 15 different babies by 15 different women. If you're going to do that, then damn it, get 15 different jobs. Point simple. All right?
Exactly.
I am the taxpayer, all right? Now, if I can go through life not having a baby until the age of 32, when I decided that I was going to hang up my silver spurs and I wanted to be a husband and I wanted to be a father, then so be. But if you want to go out here and, so to speak, as Eddie Murphy said it, in Delirious back in 1983, throwing his you-know-what on the crap table of life every night, then every time you make somebody pregnant, then you get a job. And you don't get a job after the baby comes out. You start when that baby was developed or you found out. All right? So if you already got a baby that's a year old and you decided that you want to make another woman pregnant or that same woman pregnant, then you already get a second job. Because I tell you, already, if you're making $10,000 to $15,000 a year, half of that money is going to that baby. You're talking not only hospital bills, you're talking food, you're talking clothing, you're talking rent. So forget about going around in a hoop, in a whatever the cars are. I know I got an old hoopty now. But if you think you're going around in a $15,000 or $20,000 sports car, you know, going paying the $289 or $300 a month, forget about it. You might as well go around in a 1982 Toyota Celica. Because that's the only thing that you're going to be able to afford. Or you might as well just get your bus pass every month. It doesn't make any
sense. Yes, sir.
Not a damn bit of sense. My grandmother, God bless her soul, and she's been gone since 1985, sat me and my cousin down one time, I'll never forget it, and told us about rubbers. And my grandmother raised five children, so it did not mean anything to her. And, well, a lot of people knew how my grandmother talked. Let's just say she used the vernacular of a sailor sometimes. And she meant what she said, and she said what she meant. And neither myself nor my cousin ever came home with a child out of wedlock because we knew what the price or the penalty would be first. All right? Yes, we would be taking care of that child. Yes, it would probably be a shotgun marriage. But, no, it would probably also be little 4'9" Ruth Treadway kicking her foot up my behind and that of my cousin Ray. she did not play. And if my fathers could go through life at that time with none, and her daughters the same way, then so were her grandchildren. Now, I don't know about the other side of the country, but I do know on the East End, we knew what to expect, just like my grandmother teaching us as young men that we were to pull out a chair for a lady, we were, were to hold open a door, whether it be a car door or any door entering a restaurant or your home. You would take off your hat. At the time when ladies smoked cigarettes socially, it was acceptable then. You made sure that you carried matches or a lighter to light their cigarettes, okay? Made sure that she got served first. Later in life, if you went to a club, your lady did not sit at the bar. That's right, ladies, you did not sit at the bar. You sat at a table. And if a man wanted to come and say hello, he came to that table and said hello to you. Your man walked up to the bar, got you a drink or a soda, and brought it back to you. Yes, we did treat our women like queens. Where they're getting this nonsense from now, that science fiction that you're watching on TV, that's not how it happens in the real world. That's if you want a man to care about you and truly and genuinely care about you. You don't let a man use you as a doormat. And also men, too. If you know you're going out there and you're busting your behind, all right, and you get home and your wife's home all day, there's no food on the stove, something wrong. I mean, unless she's working or something like that, something's wrong. It's called partnership. It's called mutual respect for each other. You shouldn't have to go to court, all right, for your child's mother to say, support your child, not only monetarily, but emotionally. And women, the father of your child or children, should not have to go to court also to want to be a part of his child's life. Because don't you know, a lot of the problems in society today happen because the father wasn't a part of his child's life. That's not just me repeating this. This is something that can be learned in classes, sociology classes, historical classes, psychological classes, anything. A child has a better chance of being a success if both of his parents are in that child's life and if both of the parents get along. And I'll even bring a racial aspect into it. The kid could be white, and both of their parents could have been divorced and remarried two or three times, but they still make sure that their children are successes. These kids that you see right now, or these adults that you see right now, were children once. You think that Donald Trump's father raised him or his mother raised him? I'm pretty sure it was the maid or it was the chauffeur. Now, I don't know. I was not in the house. But I know from a lot of these families that of means, it is not the mother and the father that raised them, changed their diapers, or breastfeed them. If you even go back in history, when African Americans were slaves, all right, the mother was pregnant, or the matron of the house was pregnant the same time that the mammy or the slave was pregnant. Why? Because the mothers didn't even want to breastfeed their own children. If you don't believe me, as Brother Robert and Brother Tyrone said, look it up. It's true. And it's a sick woman that doesn't want to breastfeed their own child, all right, if they're able to. But I've spoken enough. Let's bring the other person into the conversation. Sometimes he does have some opinions that are very... excuse me, folks, out there, controversial, mm-hmm. on target, makes you think, but I'm going to sit back because my voice does need a rest after this weekend, and I'm going to let you all be driven by the one, the only, Simon Bar-Sinister Jr., the CEO of the Drake's Media Corporation, and my friend, Robert Douglas Drakes III. Tell him about it.
Yeah. Here it is, Charlie. Now, let me make sure nobody's confused. Pam is the CEO of the Robert Drakes Media Network, and then I drive this thing called Drakes Media, founder and CEO of that Drakes Media deal. First, I'd like to thank the people for listening tonight, and I'd like to ask you, Charlie, because this is your show the right way, to speak freely, because I know your show is usually one of our family-oriented broadcasts. So can I speak freely, sir?
Yes, you may. I've already stated that I do not believe that children should be allowed to listen to the show, that is young children, because these conversations are going to be quite frank this evening. If there are young children that are listening, either parents send them out of the room, tell them it's time to go to bed, or shame on you because you're going to be up all night explaining why they have so many questions. Go ahead and speak, sir.
Yes, sir. Here's the deal. First of all, I think breakups are kind of like the wrath or the confusion after a black funeral. And let me explain what that means. Everybody loves Uncle James. And then Uncle James dies. And then you have all these motherfuckers fighting over shit that wasn't theirs. The real them comes out. In a relationship, a lot of times it's all peaches and cream. But then when the relationship goes bad or seems to go bad or end, then that real punk-ass man or a bitch-ass woman comes out. And let me explain to you what I mean. And I want to reference some songs with this. And when I have to go and reference the R. Kelly song, you know this is going to get serious, right? R. Kelly says, let's go half on a baby, right? Half, that means that it takes a man and a woman to create this baby. Not two same-sex people, they can't do it. It takes a man and a woman. Or we could say a male and a female, because a lot of these people that have kids are not mature enough to be considered men and women. And we'll come back to that in a few minutes. He also says that when a woman is fed up, and we all know when a woman is fed up, there's nothing like a woman scorned. So a lot of times these guys do things to these women that piss them off to the highest point of pissivity. And then this thing that Sade talks about comes into play. Sade says that love is stronger than pride. So she loved you, and you messed this thing up. And now the rat is coming out. She's going to do whatever she can to get even. And by no means am I saying that these kids should be used as pawns. But a lot of times we destroy and make a woman bad. Now, women on the same side, sometimes you just choose a bad dude. Because you choose them for reasons other than they could be a good man or a good husband. You choose them because they look good, because maybe you're in a club and you're under the influence of alcohol, and you just out there sports fucking without protection and end up with a child. Something he didn't want and something that you didn't want, and now you're going to try to make this thing work. Okay? And that's a problem too. James Brown says it's a man's world, but ain't nothing without a woman's touch. So what do we mean? Can't live with him, can't live without him in some of these situations. But let's go back to this. A bunch of immature people trying to act like adults and doing grown-up shit and not being able to handle the consequences. Now, this happens in people that are not married, and it also happens with people that are actually married. And sometimes in that situation, the outcome is really worse than people think it should be or think it would be, because maybe they outgrow each other. Maybe the real man or the real woman shows up and you find out that's not the person that you like, because maybe you chose them for the wrong reason. Who knows? And this is where we get into a house divided cannot stand. this relationship is not over, right? Any relationship that you go into is never really over, especially when you have kids. So at this point, now we have to decide to do what's in the best interest of the child, whether we can get along with each other or not. This is where the immaturity comes in, because it takes mature individuals to be able to do that, okay? Now, when we're talking about this house divided, not being able to stand, that doesn't mean that the house has to be a single family dwelling where you are living in the house together, because you now have a human being that you created together, whether you like each other or not, like the child enough to come together as people and grow the fuck up and do what's in the best interest of this child, not fight over money, not do all these things in front of the kids, and not use these kids as pawns. But see, this takes maturity. This takes sometimes setting your pride aside. Like Sade talked about, love is stronger than pride. I want you to love this child more than you love each other, more than you love yourself, and give all that you can every point and every step of the way to produce a productive individual. You can't do that fighting each other. You can't do that if you're not mature enough to handle the situation. You cannot do that if you're not willing to take accountability for what you produce. No matter how it came into existence, it's here now, and you, male and female, owe something to this child. So get your punk ass together if you're a man and take care of your responsibility. And if you're a woman, get off that independent ass, I can do it by myself shit, because you went half on this baby. It is not just yours. It belongs to the two of you. And the rest of us don't want to put the bill for you. So here's what I would want to do. Teach you how to grow up and be mature, choke the shit out of you and get you out the way so we can take care of this baby and try to produce a productive citizen. And I'm sorry for that little rant that I went on, but this is some real stuff right here. Because a lot of men become slaves to this system because, like you said, Charlie, they're going to lean towards the side of the mother. And we hope that you're a good mother. But let's just not be politically correct. Some of these ladies are worse mothers than these guys. And they keep bashing this dude and making him to be the villain. But guess what? You was out there at Denmark trying to pick your baby's daddy, pick the wrong person. And now you got to deal with it. So let's deal with it. Let's all grow up. Let's put on our big boy boxers. Let's put on our, take out the G-string and put on your big girl panties and take responsibility and accountability, because no matter what, we have to do what's ever in the best interest of this child. And don't keep focusing on money, because you cannot buy these kids into being productive citizens. You just have a well-dressed idiot. They need time. They need love from the mother and the father. And those are the things that have to come about to make this thing work. Because if we could put those money at these problems and fix it all, as much money in the African-American community that you throw at these kids with these high-dollar tennis shoes and these nice fashionable shirts and pants, then that shit ought to be fixed. But we got to get ourselves together and take accountability for what we did, no matter how, once again, it came to pass. We got to stand up, be about it, quit just talking about it, and give good examples for these children. Now, just for the people that say, well, here's this guy talking all this shit, he don't know what he's talking about. Well, let me tell you about me, and if you don't believe me, look it up. Three girls and three boys from six different mamas. Not in the house with them, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but in their life. And guess what? All the odds that they say we should be up against, we beat them. Because we finally came to, we finally matured as adults, myself and the co-parents, and we said, hey, you know what? We're going to do what's in the best interest of these children. And anybody that comes into this relationship, because it's an ongoing relationship between us, they got to get in where they fit in. And if they don't fit, they got to get out of this relationship, because we got to make sure that these kids have what they need. Period, point blank. Charlie? Pam, I love to hear from you all.
You said it.
No one can ever talk after you, Robert. Usually after you finish talking, we just drop the mic and walk away. But let me say this. I do want to actually commend you. I've met your young people, and they're phenomenal young people. phenomenal to have not, for you to have not actually been married to their mother and still raise these types of people. All the statistics and everybody, of course, says it doesn't work. It can't be done. But, you know, ladies, regardless to what type of man you have chosen, you still want to make sure that the children are exposed to that father, their father, whether he's good, bad, or indifferent. If he's molesting them or something, that's different. But I'm saying this. They need to know, yes, my father's a dog, and no, I don't want to be like him. Or, yes, my father's a wonderful person, and I do want to be like him. And on the other side, same thing with the mothers. You know, if a child is being raised by the father or the father's side of the family, then they still need to see the mother and her side of the family. Because as a child, you want to know where you come from. And I think about my friend who was adopted and didn't get to meet her. She never actually got to meet her mother. Her mother passed away before she met her siblings. When she went to the doctor as a teenager and they started asking her questions about family history, well, does this run in your family? Does this run in your family? The only history she has as far as family history is her adopted parents. She has no idea what runs in her mother's family or her real father's family, unfortunately. So they still need to know both sides of the family. And I agree. I mean, I agree with everything else you said, though, because it really takes more than just you by yourself to raise your children. When we talk about the village that it takes to raise a child, you do want to make sure that you have some good, sound people in your village. But just remember, sometimes your village needs a villain because it gives them an example of what not to do in some cases. So, I mean, everybody, because in life, you're not going to meet people. Sometimes you're going to meet some shitty people. And if you've never come up against that, you don't know how to handle that. And those are the people
Pam,
who could rob and steal from you and take your stuff.
Yeah. And, Pam, just to echo what you're saying, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and lie to anybody and say that I've been the best man or I've been the best dad. It's a learning process. And I tell people I have always been an example, whether it was a good example or a bad example, you know. And if I did things that were not a positive example, I explained to the kids, hey, this was reality. This is why this happened. But you know what? You can be better than that. Learn from that example, you know. And I like what you're saying about these children have to be exposed to the other side of them, whether it's good or bad, so they know what they're dealing with. You know, my father's side, our relationship is not that great. And a lot of times I say, you know, it was because, you know, he was a Vietnam vet and, you know, not to make excuse for him. I know they saw a lot of stuff that they can't deal with. And I think the drugs and the alcohol was a part of our bad relationship, something that he couldn't deal with, go get counseling and overcome. So guess what? In seeing those things, I drink socially, but I make sure that I keep it, you know, in under control because on my daddy's side of the family, the downfall of the men is alcohol and drugs. So let's break that cycle, you know.
Right.
Let's not reproduce that. Now, if my mom kept me away from that and I didn't see that side of the family, then I would wonder, where do I get this craving for alcohol? And people say, you don't have a crave for alcohol. You can't tell me what I don't have, you know. So I don't know if it's hereditary, if it's in the DNA or what, but, I mean, it's sometimes I go through there and I'm popping in my mind, you know, I wish I had a drink. But because I was able to see the results of those things and the breakup of the family with my cousins and their fathers, then I say, you know what? I got to break this cycle. Now, if I wasn't exposed to that, I would never know. And my relationship with my kids may be the same as my father and mine or my cousins and their father. So you have to have that exposure. You have to.
Exactly.
Because remember, let's go back to R. Kelly. Let's go half on this baby. Nobody did it by themselves. There's two sides to every story. And then what we find in these funerals, these breakup of these relationships, we hear the two sides of the story, then we hear some lying going on from the daddy and the mama.
Okay.
And then
all
we
right.
tell our
well,
kids
that,
don't lie.
Okay, well, let me cut in right there because I'm looking at the old time on the clock and you got 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Both of you said
yeah, hold on for a second.
Point.
Hold on for a second, Charlie. Hold on for a
okay.
second. Let me tell you something real quick. Coming up after
okay.
this, we have a special edition of a show called I'm Talking to You. Okay?
Okay.
So we're going to go live right into this deal. And this is unannounced.
Okay.
It's something we had scheduled. Maybe what caused us these problems we had earlier. But what I'm going to need
okay.
you to do is I'm going to put you on mute when you finish your outro for your show. But I'm going to need you
okay.
to keep that line open for me. And then we're going to roll into this I'm Talking to You. And somebody out there, might be you, it might be you, or it might be you. But you need to stay tuned and listen to this because we're talking to you.
Okay. Okay, you heard the man right there, folks. This evening, this is the start, okay, the foundation of what we are calling parent versus parent, okay, in the court system today of our society, all right, how we are trying to bring our take on this, how parents could be or should be involved in their children's lives and should not have a bunch of different organizations which are tax-based paid, especially here in Connecticut. Maybe that might change because over 45,000 pink slips were handed out to state workers. So hopefully these organizations that were funded by tax dollars will no longer be needed or around. Okay, next week we will be talking with fathers. Their side of the story, what they feel should be done, and the week after that, we will be talking with mothers. Okay, I just want to thank my co-host Robert D. Drakes III, and also my other boss. That's right, I work for a male and female. See how I brought that in there like that? Okay, Pamela Thomas. Okay, and I want to thank her for her input this evening, folks. Like I told you. I attended a Iron Sharpens Iron conference on Saturday morning, and I attended actually two church services on Sunday. One was Mind Calm Sunday at my church, Gospel Light, and another one was a church in the Bronx called Good News Christian Church. All right, and it was a wonderful day. It was their sixth year in existence. They are our sister church because the pastor there, Pastor Miller, used to be the church leader here at Gospel Light. Matter of fact, he founded it, and he decided that it was time to go on, and now he has a wonderful church in the Bronx. There's just some things that I want to let people know that are going on in the Fairfield County area, okay? There's a 20th annual community job fair, career fair, and that'll be Thursday, April 14th. And that will be at the Webster Bank Arena, okay? And that's right here in lovely Bridgeport, Connecticut. You can see it off of the highway, as a matter of fact. It is right next to the Bluefish Ballpark, all right? And, again, that is the 20th Annual Community Job Fair, and that will be held from 9 a.m. To 3 p.m. at the Webster Bank Arena, okay? So those of you who are looking for jobs, bring your resumes and look good and look sharp. There's also been an ongoing empowerment workshop that has been held at the Black Rock Library. All right, it started on the 14th of March, my late father's birthday and my wife's birthday, as a matter of fact. Happy 50 years old, Tiffany. They have two more sessions left on the 28th and the 4th of April. You can bring your lunch. The telephone number there is 203-864-3764. Again, 203-864-3764 for more information. It's Bridgeport Empowerment, okay, and it will help you talk about growing as a person. If you want to know more about that, please, like I said, call the Black Rock Library here in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And also, coming up next week, April 1st, at the Webster Bank Arena, this is going to be the Bridgeport Youth Summit, Court of Opportunity, dealing with the middle school, the high school, and when you are getting ready to go to college, there are going to be different seminars there, career information, leadership development. Local employees will be present for those of you wanting to go straight into the job market. Okay, this is being sponsored by the United Way of Coastal Fairfield County, the Workplace Inc., the Urban League, Career Resources, Aquarian Water Company, not like Detroit, Lighthouse Program, and LifeBridge, and also People's United Bank here. I want to say to my two teachers that graduated us after 10 weeks, and we are going on to the next 10 weeks in the Parent Leadership Training Institute that I am in, Salif Hanif and Patty Keck. I want to say thank you very much for the 10 weeks that you taught us and led us. I know that you are going on to other parts of the state and of the country, going on teaching the parent leadership doctrine to other communities. And I want to thank you for being part of my life and now being a part of your network. God bless you. And as you teach others your wonderful, wonderful doctrine of how to be leaders in our various communities around the nation, it was a pleasure being taught by you. One thing that Patty gave us was a just a little quote from Marion Wright Edelman. And for those of you who don't know who Marion Wright Edelman is, she is the one who founded the Children's Defense Fund, as Hillary Clinton says, that was her first job. Well, Marion also was a person that went around Mississippi in the 60s trying to get people to register to vote. That's right. She worked for Dr. King directly, and she was the one that you will see that took Bobby Kennedy around when he was going in and out of shacks in Mississippi, also trying to see the devastating results that people in that part of the country were living in, and still some part of the country, different parts of the country, are living in. Well, Marion Wright said this: service is the rent we pay for living. It is not just something to do in our spare time. It is the very essence of living. We here at The Right Way are trying to do things the right way and trying to let people know that you are an important, essential part of the various communities that you live around in your country. If you have anything good that you are doing and you want others to know, or there are others that have taught you something that you want others around the country to know, please write me or go to hashtag Charles E. Treadway or charlestreadway.com or The Right Way with Charles E. Treadway III, or you can just go to silentwordsunleashed.com, drakemedianetwork.com. Believe me, I will get the information. Pamela will get the information. Robert will get the information. Tyrone K. Dunmore will get the information. Somebody will get the information, and we will put it out there so others will be able to grow with it. Like I said, thank you very much for listening to this series that is beginning. We just set the foundation, so we're going to get into the core of things next week. Sammy, your daddy loves you very much. Everybody have a wonderful Good Friday tomorrow and have a blessed Easter. Robert, take it away. It's all yours, babe.
The Right Way with Charles E. Treadway is a product of the Robert Drakes Media Network. Executive produced by the Robert Drakes Media Network, distributed by Drakes Media, and executive produced by Charles E. Treadway and Robert Douglas Drakes III. We hope you enjoyed this broadcast, and we want you to continue to listen and share it with your friends. Once again, this is The Right Way with Charles E. Treadway III, a product of the Robert Drakes Media Network. We'd like to thank you, and please have a good night. Okay, people, here it is. Sometimes you need somebody to coach you through life. Sometimes you need to sit your butt down and listen to somebody. I see you rolling your eyes. Yeah, you motherfucker right there. You need to sit your ass down and let somebody teach you. You know what you need? You need a personal activity manager. You need Pam. You see, you think because you're 18, you're grown. But age is just a number. That doesn't mean that you're mature. That doesn't mean that you're grown. Do your research. They say people mature and become grown between the age of 25 and 30 years old. So sit your young ass down and listen to somebody. Once again, I see you rolling your eyes, and I'm talking to you. She's talking to you, and she's talking to you because you think you know it all. But I don't care, even after you pass 30, how long you live, you can learn something from somebody. And you should be willing to learn something from somebody. You see, you have these life coaches out here getting you this politically correct bullshit. But you need somebody to talk to you and look you straight in your eyes and give you reality. You need pads. You need a personal activity manager. Oh, guess what? Staff here at the Robert Drake Media Network, we have that for you. PAM. Let me say it one more time just in case you don't understand it. Personal activity manager. You need a coach. You need somebody to keep you motivated. You need somebody to keep you educated. You need somebody to keep you inspired. You need somebody to tell you the damn truth so your dedicated, active mind can be activated. You see, you sitting there with this dream that you don't know how to achieve. Talking about you got shit, and you ain't got shit but that dream. And you don't even know the path or how to make it come true. You know what you need? You need a coach. Not no fake-ass coach. You need a real coach. You need PAM. Personal Activity Manager. Give me about 10 more seconds. Fuck that, I'm gonna take 30. You can wait. You've been waiting all your life. But we got it for you tonight, baby. We got PAM. Once again, PAM. Personal Activity Manager. Personal Activity Manager. Personal Action Manager. Wake up! Man, male or female, wake up. 15, 25, 30, 45, and 65. Wake up. Get out there, functioning coma. Take it away, Pam.
I am your hair's worst nightmare, and I can't wait to do wonderfully horrible things to your hair. Instead of those curls, how about a little humidity-induced unruly frizziness?
Your hair has enemies. It needs a friend, like beauty brands and our $8.99 annual hairspray event. Save up to 70% on over 100 salon professional hairsprays and dry shampoos. Brands like Redken, Sexy Hair, TG, and more, all starting at just $8.99. Visit a beauty brand's location near you or beautybrands.com.
You are listening to the Robert Drake's Media Network.
Hey, what's going on? It's me to you and you and you. Can relax. And I really don't give a shit if you don't say anything, because I am. Anyway. Going on in my mind. Springtime, they claim, is, you know, it's time to clean. Cleaning. Every year we clean out the same old shit, and every year it comes back again. How do you perform spring cleaning? Say, you know, this shit didn't serve me anymore, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to deal with it. And then I just go through my contact list, call me, because we really don't have nothing to talk about times I want to clearing, somewhat like clearing out old shit so you'll have room for new shit. So I just go through and do some spring clearing, and I'm a happy person. Clearing also takes me to a better state of mind, be more at ease with myself. And me feed more positive, or, you know, miss out on a whole bunch of the negative bullshit that other people be trying to throw in your way to from making progress. Bring that shit level. Go ahead and get things cleared out so that you can move to the next level. About new beginnings. First of all, you have to know you can't have a new beginning unless you think, what are you ending? End all the shit that you don't need. End the drama, especially the baby mama drama. Because drama. End the drama with your job. So you need that job. Then you need a job. Maybe that ain't the job for you, and it's time for you to do some spring clearing and go ahead and do a job and get you something better to do, something that makes you happy. Whatever you do, make sure that you're making some money, because and all that bullshit, and if you're not, and me only. And if you don't like it, you really want to talk to me, though, you have the options of making a phone call. I'll give you that number later on, but for now, to you the other day, and how we as women have gotten so lazy maybe lazy ain't the word, but damn, whatever it is, habit of letting men come and make deposits in our life, and they dirty draw, depositing their dirty hands, depositing their dirty over us and in us, and all we're left with some dirty draws, soiled sheets. Shit, we got to clean up because they came and made a deposit. Why have we become, when do we become givers? I'm talking about givers in the sense of gold digging givers, because them bitches is a trip. And I don't know why you think your pussy is gold and you giving it to somebody who's going to buy you stuff. And if you giving away pussy to get purses to you, but I'm saying shit, purses don't do shit for me. Money talks and that bullshit walks. But not getting nothing in return, that don't make no sense. And if you're a grown woman, you should be on your grown woman tip, taking care of your shit and making sure that things are right with you. Saying is, you don't need to rely on nobody, no nigga, no bitch, no mama, no daddy, no grandmama to give you nothing. You need to open up the door and get the shit, because when you get up and do something for yourself, it feels good for you to do it. And then you don't have to sit around crying and begging and worrying about when somebody's going to do something. To have a wet pussy and an empty pocketbook. Oldest profession in the world. Oldest. And women have always been known to trade. What you want to do, what's wrong with it, just make sure you're getting something out of it. They're nice, but money talks, bullshit. If you ain't got, if you got clothes and you don't have no food on you just wasted some time. And he didn't buy the shit. You really wasted your time with that one. Because now, once again, they have a wet pussy and he gets a soft dick. And all you get, women, we need to stop letting our pocketbooks be empty. Sometimes you don't need to wait on a man to give you. You can go out and get it for you. Women are the most intelligent beings. Societies were ran by women. Being the mother, the ones who can actually give birth, couldn't do shit without a woman. Because if we all clammed it up and decided we ain't have no babies, guess what? The population stopped here. You know, we nice enough because we kind of like the fellas. And we're nurturers, so we got to have babies so we can nurture. So to your detriment, it's going to harm you to make sure that whatever is happening, that is creating something positive and your loved one, i.e. your children, that damn, sit around and wait for somebody to just give you something. Sitting around waiting on a welfare check, some bullshit. Why are you waiting on the government to give you what you can go out and get for you? And then the little bit of pennies that they give you, get a job and make more than that. Then you might have 2 or 3 or 4 kids. I get that, but guess what? You have the knowledge and you have the power. Power. I mean, you have all power. You can go out and get whatever you want, because you are a creator. Are negative around us or can't do shit, you ain't gonna be shit, you ain't nothing, your mama wasn't nothing, your daddy wasn't nothing. For some reason, you don't know how to surpass that. You don't know how to tell them haters, you know what, I'm gonna use that energy that you're giving me to step up higher and to make myself. Sometimes you need to just think about it. Shit, I'm gonna become something just because I'm somebody and I want to prove them wrong. Get off the welfare, family. Buy yourself a fucking car and go and do what you got to do. You don't want to work for nobody, it's your own goddamn business. School, learn a trade. Learn how to do this shit. Time to read. Read the damn paperwork so you know how to do it, so that next time you don't have to go and pay somebody else to do it. People will be coming to you and paying you to do it. Sitting around on our asses, women, waiting on people to give us shit. Somebody give you, guess what? The glory. She's that because I made her that. She has that because I gave her that. But when you go out and get it for you, can't no motherfucker come around and tell you that you didn't do it. Credit. And if they do, you tell them bitches, you ain't did shit for me. I'm doing shit for you. This is, I'm talking to you with things on my mind. And you know, it's election, all this preliminary election bullshit going on. You got Donald Trump with his bad hair running to be president, saying all kind of bullshit. Think, what the world and why is this happening? No, ain't nobody really thinking about it. All we're doing is, oh, protest, stop Donald Trump when he's only a decoy, to be a decoy. He's not really ready to be a president, and whoever put him up, not really wanting him to win. I don't know what other person it is, but I'm still seeing him as a decoy. He's loud, but he ain't bullshit about taking back the country. Country that was never yours in the first damn place. This country didn't belong to Donald Trump and his German people or whoever the hell they are. This country belonged to the Native Americans, Seminoles, all the other things that I can't, the Native Americans country belonged to. And then them people came over here with guns and shooting and shit. We haven't had a moment. So anyway, I'm thinking that Donald Trump is just in the race. Some of the other stuff, issues and bullshit, like you'd be the first one on the boat because you ain't from here either. Or your grandparents, somebody in your family had to come over here, even though you might have been born here. They never, you're talking about going back and then maybe we'll all follow you. Anyway, okay, I'm done with that because that shit just be pissing me off. I'm about to just, but you know what? This is my radio show and I can do radio the way I want to. And if I choose to get pissed off and say what I want to say. It's on my mind today. Hey, yeah, we just had, who made this shit up? I remember. Oh, we're holding palms in the air, palm branches in the air as Jesus came through the city on a donkey. Boy, oh boy. Christians sure can make up a whole bunch of paganistic holidays and rituals, can't they? They come up with the dumbest shit. Should we be worshiping the palm trees? Oh, no, don't worship palm trees. You got to worship Jesus. Figure out where he told me I needed to worship him. As my brother brought up the other day, the most widely quoted verse, John, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, words that are written in red. It's written written and read in certain Bibles, the only begotten son. And why is he saying that his only begotten son? Why did he just say, well, God sent me because I'm his only begotten son for another day? I'm sure we'll be bringing that up again soon and talking about it. Make sure you call and talk to us about it. Not that we're trying to stop you from doing anything that you do, because you're going to keep doing what you believe in. Keep doing what I know, what I believe. Believing and wishing don't get shit done, but knowing and doing makes it happen. What I'm all about, the results. Anyway, some kind of spring clearing, you just kind of clear your mind, bullshit off your face, and starting to do these diets because we want to look good in our bathing. No matter how much weight you lose, some of y'all won't be looking good in your bathing suits no matter what. Some of you just don't have that cute body. I'm not trying to talk. You look good, guess what? Not about what other people think about you. I might look at you and say, hey, suit is nice, but it's not suited for you. You can wear that Sherman Clump no matter what. What a nice day, and what a nice way to just kind of your mind, get it off your chest, remove all that heaviness, and stop carrying around other people's and burdens. Women, stop carrying around men, summer's eve, but whatever you need to do. Somebody who got some good stuff to deposit into you before you start letting him deposit it. About men being sperm donors, well, we need to stop being sperm holders, sperm recipients, taking on from those men that are not giving you anything. I've been down on men. Hey, I'm a lover of all men, men in relationship to a woman, but men need to get back to being men. But women, just being better women. It would be nice if men would get back to being men. So the men would just start learning how to, and a woman with her legs open all the time. I mean, I'm sure it's nice to do what you do, but when you're ready for something serious, it won't be there for you because all you're doing is chasing skirt tail and running behind open legs. So learn how to be a man. Find a man who's doing the right thing and being a man, and then do what he does. It's on my mind. I don't know why this came up for me today. I know a lot of people a few people I know have lost loved ones, and they're going through, totally understandable, and I get it. Praying for people is free. I get it. Praying is like the laziest way you can help somebody. Hella lazy. If you want to do something for somebody, go over to them and see what you can do for them. Encouragement. Give them, show your face and give them some encouraging words. Then go. Because, you know, you're sitting there praying, you're asking God to take care of them and help them and do all this stuff. But you're asking God to do all kind of stuff for these people that you could do for yourself. You could go and do for them. To do it for them. So do all this praying. Saying, hey, God, thinking about you. Drive by their house and knock on the door. They might not answer. Leave them a note of bananas or some shit. Damn. Don't just, now when people are far away, I get it. What phones are for? Damn, there everybody got a telephone. So you ought to be able to call somebody. Okay, they might not answer. Leave a fucking voicemail. Say, hey, I was thinking about you. I understand you're going through some shit. If you need me, call me. I'm here for you anytime. And then don't really be there, because when that phone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning and your ass is praying, because that might be the time when they need you at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm just saying. And if you clear, clean, and I know my body clear in my mind. Remember, if you want to talk to me, you can get in on the conversation. I'm supposed to give you a phone number that I can't remember right now. Either way, and if you really don't want to hear what I'm saying, you can go and do something else. You can have your own radio show. Anyway.
Napa guy knows the good thing about an old truck is you can treat it like an old truck, meaning however you want. Because the paint job looks best covered in mud, dents build character, and unpaved roads are unscientifically proven to be 70% more fun. And with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep that thing running longer, stronger. Because it's not old, it's broken in. That's Napa know-how.
Hey, y'all, this is Motivator X, the 131-year-old man, and I got a question for you. Who in the hell left the gate open? Somebody free these Negroes. They talking to shit. I love it. That 10 a.m., I got to give me a personal activity manager, because I think I found my next wife. Oh, and by the way, fuck Donald Trump. Good day.